Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled Company Culture, the Glue That Holds It All Together. Tom, company culture is one of those topics that we hear a lot about, but few business owners really understand how it shapes their business. Is this presentation going to be helpful in this area?
It sure is, Bill. Gary does a great job of describing the 8 different company cultures, and he highlights the basic characteristics of each one. The bottom line is pretty clear. If the company provides outstanding wages and benefits, and they're still losing employees, chances are the problem lies in the company culture.
Well, that was my takeaway from this presentation as well, Tom. Yeah, Gary Hazelberg is the newest trainer to join the Grandy & Associates team. Gary has over 40 years of experience in the trades industries and has spent the last 30 years in the HVAC arena. As a dealer, Gary dealt with installations, service calls, and selling HVAC comfort systems. In distribution, he filled roles in territory and sales management. He is passionate about using his experiences to help people realize that it is possible to be happy and successful in their work and personal lives. And now, with company culture, the glue that holds it all together, here is Gary Hazelberg with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Are you having trouble finding good people? Are you paying great wages but still having trouble keeping great employees? Well, you are in the majority of contractors these days. In today's environment, we need to provide a great working culture in addition to good wages. You've probably heard a lot about culture over the last year or so, but it's really hard to get your hands around exactly what a great culture is. Today, I'm hoping we can put more definition to culture and really give you some tools that you can work on with your company. Remember, great wages is just table stakes in this game. So today, we're going to talk about 8 different types of company profiles. And as we go through these, think about your company. Where does your company lie in here? Where are you strong? Where are you weak? So the first company profile I'd like to talk about is the results-based company. Results-based company sets goals, celebrates wins, and they move forward even when falling short of goals. To set goals, I like to use the SMART goal setting system. You can find many different versions of this out on the web, but I like the acronym SMART. S stands for specific, M stands for measurable, A for attainable, R for relevant, and T for timely. Let's go through each one of these one by one. Specific, as far as a sales goal, should be a dollar amount, not a percentage. A dollar amount means more to people. If you say, I want to grow the company 10%, what does that really mean? But if I say I want to grow that company $100,000, that has more meaning to most people. Remember, we can also set production goals or goals for tasks that need to be done. When you can define the time it takes to do that goal or how many of those projects you can do in a day or a week, you know, then you can set an improvement goal on those. And it's very relevant when you can do that. People really will buy in when you can actually set a time and get them involved in setting these goals. The second part of the SMART goal system is measurable. Make sure the goal is measurable. That may sound easy, but when you get into the goal, if you haven't done your homework, you may find out that there's a more accurate measuring system, or you may want to measure it a different way. You don't want to change the way you measure that goal in the middle of the goal cycle. You'll lose a lot of people during that transition. The next part of the SMART goal system is attainable. You got to do your homework for this one. If you're setting a sales goal, look at your last few cycles, whether it's a year or a quarter or whatever, and think about what kind of a goal can be attainable. And then give it a little stretch. It's got to be a stretch. It's got to make people think that this is going to be hard to get there. Think about a calendar year goal. You don't want to hit that goal in October. What are you going to do in November, December? Just add on more dollars to it? That's not going to go over very well. And you don't want to be in October and everybody looking around going, well, we're never going to hit that goal. And then they just ignore it. So you really got to do your homework. Look at your past cycles to see what you did during that cycle and to see what a good stretch would be. The next part of the SMART goal system is relevant. I believe this is the most important part of this, because if you don't have relevancy for everyone that's involved, it's going to be just luck if you hit that goal. So how do you make this goal relevant to everyone? Well, if it's a sales goal, maybe you want to offer a little spiff. Do your homework ahead of time. Think about that goal I talked about before, $100,000. If we hit that $100,000, what net profit would we make off of that? An increase over our normal year. Take 5 or 10% of that and divide it amongst the employees and give it back to them. Don't give everybody the same dollar amount. Give the, you know, a percentage of their income or something like that. So the better employees will get a little few more dollars than the more entry-level employees. But you got to think, is dollars really what motivates people? It might be what motivates you, but I've worked with people who are very motivated by just the goal. But they want recognition when they win that goal. So how are you going to make it relevant? How are you going to make it important? You need to know your people and know what really drives them to be able to answer that question. So it needs some homework to be able to decide that. And that's the most important part of it. And it's the most difficult part to decide, what can I really do to get these guys and girls excited about this goal? The last part of the SMART goal system is timely. Set a time, a calendar year, a 12-month cycle, a quarter, a week, a month, something like that. It's because, you know, you need to have some kind of time frame to be able to measure this over. So now you're ready to go in front of the company and talk to them about the goal that you've put together. You've done your homework. You've gone through this SMART cycle, and you're going to announce to the company what you're going to do. Well, I like to add one more part to this to really make this more relevant, more important to the company. Let's add an H. Let's call it a SMART goal system. That H is how. How do you plan on hitting this goal? Okay, you want to gain $100,000 in sales next year? How? Are you going to add more vehicles? Are you going to add more people? Are you going to expand into a new territory? Are you going to do a new type of work? Great. If you're going to do that, how are you going to do that? Are you going to buy more trucks? Are you going to buy more equipment? Are you going to provide more training to make everybody more efficient? You need to have that all well defined. Now you can go in front of the company, announce your sales goals, announce your production goals. You know, explain as you went through this, how you set it, communicate it very well so everybody understands how important it is and what's in it for them. You know, that's always a big part of it. So now that you've set these goals and you've announced them to your company, you need to communicate these goals frequently and consistently. So let's take, for example, a calendar year goal. If you calculate that, no company I've ever worked with has the same sales every month. January is going to be different than February, which is going to be different than March. So do the math and figure out how much of that sales goal gain you want in each of those months and post that either electronically as an email or an Excel document or, you know, nothing wrong with a piece of paper hanging in the shop that people can check on. But make sure you update that. You know, if it's a calendar year goal, probably update it monthly. You know, and communicate that on the same day of every month or as close as you can to make sure that, it, you know, people are expecting it. Also on this note, if you're communicating a goal and you're communicating it every quarter, maybe if you win that quarterly goal and you've achieved the goal for that quarter, give them a little something, maybe a Starbucks gift card or an Amazon gift card. It doesn't have to be huge, but something that would acknowledge that, hey, this is really important. I want to make sure and thank everybody for doing this. Make sure that you keep your goal consistent. Don't change your goal in midstream. You know, I've set a lot of goals in my, you know, career, and it's very tempting to say, "Ooh, I could have done that better." That's why you've got to spend your time ahead of time to make sure that everything, you've done your homework as best as you can, and then you have to live with it for that goal cycle. Remember, you know, we're going to be setting a goal for the next period. So, you know, we can learn from what we've done the first time and move on. So departments and individuals should have their own goals, which tie into this company goal. Get your department managers involved. Get your individuals involved. Give them the SMART goals charts. Go on the internet. There's a lot of different information on there. Give them a SMART goal sheet that they can fill out. Look through this and decide what a good goal would be for you in the next quarter or month or year. And get back to me. We'll talk in 2 weeks. Something like that. It works out real well. If you have them, you know, establish their goal, they're going to have a lot more buy-in. They're going to, you know that you're interested in what they're doing. So now we've set these goals and things are going great. We've set this calendar year goal. It's getting to the middle of December and we hit it. We made it. We hit this goal. What are you going to do? How are you going to celebrate this? You should be thinking about this way ahead of time. You need to celebrate this goal. Just setting another, hey, we hit the goal, here's your spiff and move on, you're going to lose a lot of people because people aren't excited about it. We got to show that excitement. It may be as simple as a pizza party. It may be going out bowling together or fishing or something just to acknowledge everybody how important this is to you that we hit this goal. You know, you got to figure out a way to celebrate it. It's not as easy as it sounds. And this is where you really need to know your people. What would they enjoy? Something very informal, a picnic or something like that, or something more more formal, more specific. All right, now we're falling short of that goal. We're going to be a little short, and we know what, and we know it. What are you going to do about it? Well, you got to find out the why. Why did we fall short of that goal? Did we have specific things that happened that were out of our control? Was the weather really bad and we couldn't do the work that we hoped we could? Did we really try our best to go out and find people, but we couldn't find people to fill those roles? I don't want excuses. We want reasons here, to be honest, so we can learn as we go forward. Maybe we just didn't communicate these goals as well as we thought we did. Talk to your people. Find out what they thought about these goals. Were they important to them? If they weren't, we got to figure out that relevancy. That's the biggest part of it. So as you learn about this, as you set these goals and fall a little short, got to learn from this because we need to set another goal for the next period and keep these goals consistently communicated. But you got to also, on the other hand, keep them fresh. You can't just keep adding the same percentage every year and just moving on. People are going to get bored with it real quick. But the other point about goals is, what if we set a $100,000 goal and we made $95,000? Did we really fail? We actually had a pretty good year for this size of company. So how do we communicate that? Do we give a little bit of spiff if we fall a little short? That's not a bad idea. That's really your choice. But remember what Oscar Wilde said way back when, shoot for the moon. If you miss, you'll land among the stars. So falling a little short of the goal isn't the worst thing in the world. And you need to talk about your people. Talk to your company about that. That, hey, we set this goal. We fell a little short. Here's how, why I think we fell a little short of that. But you know what? We still had a great year. I'm really excited about it. We made $95,000 gain in this company last year. You know, our goal was 100. We fell a little short. I think we can do it next year. Next year, I think we can do this much. You know, so, you know, it really creates some cohesion among the employees when you're all in this together, you know. So I hope that helps. I'd like to move on to the next profile. The next profile is a caring company. A caring company is very welcoming, collaborative. They're really working together. You know, you get to know your people a little bit. You got to know your people as people a little bit. And this is sometimes kind of hard. Some people find this very natural. Some people find this very difficult. What do they like to do outside of work? What are the causes they're involved in? What issues are they important to? Are they really involved in their church? Are they really heavily involved in a hobby? Do they have an artistic bent? Do they like to hunt? Do they like to fish? Those aren't hard questions to ask. What do you like to do outside of work? It's one of my favorite questions. And a lot of people say, you know what, this is what I do. I work really hard, and when I get home, I'm tired, and that's all I want to do. That's fine. But sometimes if you push them a little bit, or if you're with their spouse or somebody that knows them pretty well, they say, oh, you know, when you get home, you're always, you know, fixing something, or you've made furniture, or, you know, something like that. And once you do that, once you start having that conversation, the employees start to notice that you really care about them for more than just, you know, making money for you, you know, that, you know, that you care about them as a person. So get to know your people a little bit. Make sure that culture is part of your hiring process. Where would this new hire fit in? And don't always go for a cultural match. We don't want to have the same kind of person. If we're all the same kind of person in the company, that company is going to get stagnant and not move forward. We need to have somebody that's filled in a cultural void that's in your company. To make sure that, you know, oh, I'm a little short of creative people in our company. Well, that's what you need to find to fill that void, not find another match for the people you have out there. So how do we get to know this? That's really difficult. Well, there's a lot of different, you know, personality profile or communication profile tools out there. I really like the DISC profile system, where DISC stands for D for dominant, I for influencer, S for steady, and C for compliant. Let's go through these relatively quickly. There's assessments available at grandyassociates.com. You need to know yourself when you take this assessment, and you'll find out what kind of personality you are, what kind of communication style you have. And as you see that, you'll see that my highest one is I. That's me. I'm a very high I person. And as I know that, I know I like to talk a little much. Sometimes I need to dampen that down a little bit when I'm communicating with a different type of personality. So when you get to know yourself, and as you go through these DISC assessments, you'll get to recognize some people that you know and you work with as different types of personalities. And then you can learn how to communicate with them better. That's what this is all about. It's also a great tool for hiring. If you use this tool to hire, it'll give you some questions to ask during the hiring process, and it'll also get to see where this person will fit in your company. This person's a great ideas person, where I need that in my company. Well, you know what? I got enough ideas people. I need somebody to really get these ideas done. Well, then you need a D, you know, somebody who accomplishes things. So let's go through these real quick. Again, there's a lot more information online. There's a lot more information you can find at grandyassociates.com. So DISC stands for dominant. Their nickname may be the hammer. The hammer really doesn't care if it hurts your feelings. They just want to get things done. They like to make decisions. Sometimes they'll make a decision on only 5% of the information they need. That's okay. If they made a wrong decision, they'll just make another one. When you're talking to a D, you make sure you get to the point. Be prepared. Go in there expecting them to make a decision from what you're talking about. They're very driving. They're very ambitious. You know, and they really want to, they're very time conscious and don't want to waste time. They really want to get to the point, move on, and let's go to the next thing. And these are very important. You know, all of these are very important. Remember, as we go through these, none of them are bad. They're all very important, but they just are. And we got to realize what kind of person we're talking to so we can get the best value to our communication. And I is what I am, a very high I. Again, we're all a little bit of all of these. You're a little bit of D, a little bit of I, a little bit of S, a little bit of C. But one of them is the most dominant of all of those, and that's the one that you want to look at that you are the most. And when you take this test, it's a very detailed report that you get back, and it'll give you it'll really dial into who you really are. Back to an I is an enthusiastic person. The glass is always half full with an eye, and hopefully it's beer. They really like to talk. They're the life of the party. They're very trusting, sometimes too much. They love a bright, shiny object. They can be easily distracted. You can tell an eye at a party, and I'm guilty of this, and I don't like it about myself whatsoever. But if you're having a conversation with somebody, that eye is going to be looking over the shoulder at another conversation because there may be something more exciting going on across the hall. across the party or something like that. They can be very, very easily distracted. They're very forward thinking. They can see the picture 3 to 5 years down the road, but they're not detail orientated. They can do detail work, but it's really going to wear them out. So that's an I. An S is steady. Very slow to change. Very patient. Very consistent. Very deliberate. Don't try to rush an S. Give them the information. Hey, we're going to be changing this policy. Give them time for them to change. Get them time to be ready for that. They can change. They just need to, see the reason why and give them time to respond to that. Do not mistake their slow to change or slow to respond as lack of intelligence. Oh boy, they are very intelligent people, but they're just not going to make a decision very quickly. They're all about pace and consistency. Everything needs to be done in the right pace, in the right time. C is compliant. Compliants are very careful, very cautious, very exacting, very neat. If you see a C's desk, it's very neat on top. But if you open one of the drawers up, it's probably a mess. And they like to stick to business. They're very good at that detail work. You know, I worked with a warranty professional in the business that I worked with, and we tried to write a warranty policy. And it was my job to write it and then communicate it with her. And when I came to her and said, well, there are cases where we're going to have to bend this a little bit. And she just took the piece of paper and pushed it back to me and says, well, then you need to write that in there exactly how you want me to bend so that that's defined, so I know what I need to do. And I said, well, come on, we got these good customers. Hey, Gary, this is a policy. You write it. That's exactly how I'm going to enforce it. And, we need people like that, that are very detail oriented, really stick to the detail. They're very rules based. So again, I'm going to remind you, none of these personalities are bad. They just are. So as you look at a Grandy Associates, and find the DISC assessment and you take that tool, take the assessment, you can really learn about yourself. And like I said before, once you learn about yourself and you'll learn about how other people communicate, you can really start to communicate better and you'll start recognizing, boy, that person was really a D. Great. I know I need him to be very direct. That person was I. Well, start with the story. Get to know them. It's more of a party type thing, S is steadiness. Okay. Give them the facts. Tell them what decision you need them to make and back away. But follow up with them. Make sure that, how that's going. Don't push them because people will push back. But just give them the time to make that decision. When you're talking to a C, make sure that you have everything set by the rules. And they're going to want all the details. They're going to ask you for details that you don't think are important whatsoever. But they do. So be prepared with that. So in review, a D is how we deal with problems and challenges. An I is how we deal with people and contacts. An S is how you deal with pace and consistency. A C is how you deal with rules and procedures. So you've gone through this DISC profile. You've decided to hire somebody. Make sure you make it special when you hire them. Talk to the company. Tell them why you hired them. I hired Bill on as a new installer. I'm excited to have Bill on. He's got a lot of experience in this area. He's really excited to be involved in our trade. And, his personality is such that I think he's really going to work well with different people, blah, 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 and make sure people understand why you brought them in and what the future plans are. That's going to really help to tie people together. One of the difficult things to do when we're talking about this is we need to thank people when they decide to leave. Every once in a while, you'll be involved in a situation where somebody comes up and says, I've been here for a while and it's just not me. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I've always wanted to be a game warden. Or I've always wanted to be something else, an artist, something like that. So I'm going to give it a try. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave and I'm going to leave at such and such a time frame. I was involved with a company where they had designated one of their guys and talked to him very much about it as the owner, as the current owner was getting up in age and decided he wanted to retire. He had really gone through some plans to make this gentleman as the owner. As they're moving forward, he's starting to give some ownership responsibilities to him. And he looked at him one day and said, I really don't want to do this. This isn't something, as I see more and more of this, it isn't me. And so he told him he's going to leave. And I really give great kudos to the current owner of that company, because he talked to the employees and said, hey, we're really going to miss this guy. He's been a real value to him. But congratulations on sticking your neck out and speaking up for what you really believe in and trying something that you've always wanted to try. You know, we're certainly going to miss him at this company, but we also want to say congratulations for sticking your nose out and try something like that. So that's a difficult thing to do. But think about how the company's going to react. And I think, wow, you know, we're certainly going to miss him. It's kind of scary that he's leaving. But, you know, the boss is really saying thanks and everything. That's pretty cool. He's a pretty cool guy. So he's going to bring all of us closer. So that concludes this part of it. Let's go on to the next profile. The next profile is an order-based company. And we all need a little order in our lives. Order-based companies like to set SOPs for SOPs. An SOP is a standard operating procedure. Standard operating procedures are very important. When we're sending people out to do jobs, they should have checklists. They should know exactly what's expected of them, how they should do that. People want to know what's expected of them. How do they know if they're doing it right if you don't tell them that? But we got to think about that trust versus control balance. And I'm not going to tell you that you need to be a certain place on that trust versus control balance, but you need to realize what kind of person you are on that. Are you a very trusting person and you believe that you just tell people what they want to do and get out of their way and they'll get it done? Or are you one person that needs to tell everybody exactly every step to the nth detail of how you want it done? Either way may be fine. Again, just remember what personality you're dealing with. A C-type personality is going to want to know all those details, exactly what you expect, and they will give you that exactly as you ask for it. If you over-control a D or an I, they're going to push back, and you're going to have a very unhappy employee, and that person's probably going to leave. So be aware of your communication style. Be aware of where you are in that trust versus control balance and who you're talking to, you know, and what kind of communication they're expecting. Review installation and service expectations regularly to make sure that they're current, that they're up to date, and people really know what's expected of them. The next profile I want to talk about is a learning-based profile. A learning-based profile is very inventive. They're very creative. They encourage learning and growth. So are you doing regular performance reviews with your employees? If you are you asking them, where do you see your next step? Where do you want to be next after you've mastered this part of your job? You may be surprised if you give them the freedom to tell you that. And once they tell you that, set the course for them. Well, I want to be more involved in outside sales. Well, you need to know more about the product and how it works and what the features and benefits are. Here's some classes that you need to take. Here's some resources that you can get into. Once you define that for them, get out of their way. Tell them, I expect you to get this done if you're really interested in this. If they don't do it, well, maybe they're really not interested in doing it. If they do it, then you know they really want to move forward. And it's really exciting to see people as they react. You're really going to provide me this opportunity? Absolutely. You know, we love hiring from within. And, you know, everybody's getting older every day, and we want to have a great person, you know, getting ready to take that position when the existing person retires. A lot of people tell me that they don't want to do a lot of training. That because, you know, they train people and they just leave, and so I'm just training my competition. Why would I want to do that? Well, the only thing worse than a trained employee that leaves is an untrained employee that stays. You know, think about that person that you haven't provided any training. They're going to like, well, he doesn't want to invest in me to begin with. And secondly, he doesn't have the skills that he really needs to do the job. So it's going to be a difficult situation. Yep, if you train an employee who leaves, it's not a good thing, but it certainly is better than not training an employee and having him stay. So training is one of the best investments you can make in your company. It improves efficiency. It decreases callbacks. Nobody likes callbacks. And it makes people feel important because you're investing in them. The next profile I want to talk about is a purpose-based company. A purpose-based company is very tolerant. They're very compassionate. They're working for a higher purpose. I think you hear this once in a while when you're out there listening to what makes great companies. Millennials are really driven to a company with a higher purpose. When I first heard this, I kind of laughed because I've been around for a while. And remember when I got my first job, if I said, what's the purpose of this company? They would tell you the purpose of the company is for you to get to work and, you know, shut my mouth and don't ask questions like that and just be as efficient as possible. But things have changed. We need to attract good employees. People want to work for a company that has a higher purpose. Remember, mission and purpose are different. Mission is what we do. A purpose is why we do it. Think about a mission is laying bricks, but a purpose is building cathedrals. Well, think about heating and air conditioning people. Heating and air conditioning people installed furnaces and air conditioning. Well, the purpose might be comfort, efficiency. What about clean air? We can clean your air. Dependability. You got to know the people you're talking to, you know, and make sure that that resonates with them for that kind of purpose. You know, is it important to them that the air is clean, or is it important to them that the efficiency is better? You know, but think about why you're really doing what you're doing. You're in business not just for installing furnaces and air conditioning. There's a reason behind what you're doing. Do other people know that reason? You need to tell them. They want to know because people want to work for a company with a higher purpose, as I said before. Think about a landscaper. A landscaper digs a lot of holes, they plant a lot of plants, and they lay down a lot of mulch. But that's not their purpose. Their purpose is to provide a beautiful place to relax. Here's some examples, a couple examples of different purpose statements. ING is a banking company, you know, and their purpose statement is empowering people to stay ahead in life and business. So let's get that money in your hands so you can stay ahead. Kellogg's, the cereal company, nourishing families so you can flourish and thrive. So take a minute, highlight this area. It's really important. As with the younger generation, that you know your purpose. And when you're hiring, you want to communicate this to people. Hey, the purpose of this company is this. And people want to know that, and they'll be drawn to you if you know your purpose and communicate it. The next company profile I'd like to talk about is a safety-based company. A safety-based company is very risk-aware. They're very cautious. We all do need some predictability in our lives. And we need to manage that risk. Companies that are too risky, they may succeed for a while, but eventually that risk will catch up with them, and they may have a catastrophic end. But companies that are too risk aware, that don't take any chances, are eventually going to fail as well because they're just not going to take advantage of any opportunities that come up because they're afraid to take that risk. Now, you need to be in that balance somewhere. Just like the other balances we talked about today, you need to be aware where you are on the risk versus reward balance. Now, either one is right or wrong. You just need to be aware of where you are. You need to manage your risk in a smart way, long term and short term. And just like everything else, you need to communicate it very clearly to your people what you expect of them. This includes reminding them of your safety expectations. Where do you expect them to be wearing hearing protection, eye protection, hard hats, steel-toed shoes? These are very important for the safety and the long-term health of your employees. So communicate that very clearly and make sure you have a policy statement written and they have it in their hands and they know where it is. The next profile I'd like to talk about is an enjoyment-based company. This is another one that when I was originally in the working environment when I was a young man, if I talked about enjoying myself at work, I was told that enjoyment and work are two separate things. They never the twain shall meet. But things have changed. People can enjoy themselves and still get a lot of work done. Enjoyment companies are fun-loving. They're lighthearted. You need to, you know, put this as part of your company. Assign someone to plan a company event. Don't do it yourself. Give them a budget and let them decide what they would like to do. Maybe put it out to the whole company. I'd like you all to make some suggestions for a company event. Obviously, we have a very strict budget on this, but, you know, the best idea we'll go forward with. And put one of the employees in charge to plan it. There's probably somebody in your company who enjoys that kind of thing. You know, and this could be a really, you know, an opportunity to get to know your employees a little better. But also to say it's okay to have a little fun as long as we're still getting that work done. As long as we're talking about enjoyment, it's very important that you take your vacations and make sure your employees do as well. Everybody will burn out if they don't get their vacations in periodically. You need to get away and recharge once in a while. Everybody does. The last company profile I'd like to talk about is an authority-based company. Authority-based company is, you know, somebody that is really, we need to have a boss sometimes. You know, everybody needs to be kept in line and straightened out every once in a while. You know, think about, you know, work time starts at 8 o'clock and you have one person who's always a little late, 8:05, 8:10, quarter after, you know, and if you don't do anything about it, the rest of the employees are going to think, well, that's okay. I can start coming in as well. Remember the golden rule of this type of thing? Praise in public and discipline in private. So if that person is coming in a little late, make sure you hold them aside in private and have a little talk with them about, you know, your expectations and if they can meet those expectations. You know, you do that in private, but people will know what you're doing. People will know what you're up to and know that, you know, you had to talk to them about, you know, being late and things like that. And that will bring everybody else together because everybody's held to the same standard. So think about the 8 different company profiles we talked about. What kind of company are you? Are you a goals-based company? Are you a purpose-based company? Are you an enjoyment-based company? Where are you strong? Where do you need a little help? So if you have an idea where you're strong, spend as much time as you can there. That's your strength. You should spend as much time as you can doing that. But we can't ignore the places where we need a little help. Does that mean we need to work on that a little bit? Probably. But maybe that's where we need to hire. Or maybe you need to look at the people that are working for you and see if they're a little stronger in some areas where you're a little weak. And give them more responsibility in those areas. And it's really going to move your company forward. So I hope this was helpful to go through this. As a review, I just want to go through some of the nuggets from this class. Make sure you're setting goals. And make sure those goals are relevant. Really do your homework. Spend some time. Figure out what those goals are. And if they really have relevancy to everyone in your company. Because those are the people that are going to achieve the goals for you. When you achieve those goals, celebrate. You've got to celebrate. Got to find out a way to make it important to show the importance of this goal to everybody. When you fall a little short of your goal, and when you set enough goals, you will fall short eventually. Learn from it, refocus, and talk about how it, you know, shooting for the moon and when you still land among the stars. Maybe you're a little short of that goal, but that doesn't mean we have a bad year. Learn from those opportunities and then go forward. Remember to talk about your passion. Talk about your purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? People like to hear this. People like to know there's more than just, you know, turning a wrench and things like that, that there's a real purpose behind this company. And everybody would like to hear more about your purpose. Also, make sure everybody knows what their job responsibilities. What's your job? What do I expect out of you? What's the definition of success? When you do this, this is success. When you don't do this, that's not success. Get to know your employees a little bit. Find out what they do. Find out what really makes them excited. Find out what really makes them happy. It's kind of fun finding out what people are into. You'll be really surprised when you ask that question. What do you like to do outside of work? And listen, people will really start sharing and opening up, and they'll really feel a lot more closer to everybody because you care about them as more than just a paycheck. And make sure everyone knows that they are important to the success of the company. You didn't hire that person just to give them a paycheck. There's a reason they're there, and they need to hear that once in a while. They need to hear that those two words, thank you, and use their name. The sweetest sound to everybody is their name. And in closing, I just want to say three words, communicate, communicate, communicate. Once you think you've communicated enough, you probably need to do it again. People have a lot on their plate, and you know, you want to make sure that you're communicating in the right fashion. Make sure you're understanding your communication profiles. Make sure you're understanding others' communication profiles, and you're communicating to them in the way that they'll understand and they'll remember. So I hope this was helpful to you, and we certainly appreciate your time you've taken to be involved in this class. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.